The second scripture reading today comes from Luke 14, verses 1 and 7 through 11. It reads, "One Sabbath, when Jesus came to eat a meal in the house of one of the leading Pharisees, the guest watched him closely. Jesus went on to address a parable to the guests, noticing how they were trying to get a place of honor at the table. When you're invited to a wedding party, don't sit in the place of honor in case someone more distinguished has been invited. Otherwise, the host might come and say to you, 'Make room for that person,' and you would have to proceed shamefacedly to the lowest place. What you should do is go and sit in the lower place, so that when your host approach you, they'll say, 'My friend, come up higher.' This will win you the esteem of the other guests, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." A week and a half ago, I received a text from my dad that read, "Your uncle is having heart surgery, so I'm leaving in the morning for Minneapolis. I'm not sure how long I will be gone." Pause. A few seconds later, the next message came through. "I am supposed to preach on the first." Another pause. Now, at this point, I have three choices. I can tell my wife, Christina, that she has a week to find another speaker. I can volunteer to speak, or I can just ignore the implied question. My phone beeped. New message. "Think you could cover for me?" So there goes option number three, leaving me with one and two, and here I am. During Brooks's sabbatical, we have heard from many people of this congregation tell us stories about their gifts. Now, I was able to be the first speaker during the sabbatical time, so it allows me to reiterate from the first Sunday, several months ago, the words of Aaron Morgenstern in Night Circus. "Someone needs to tell these tales. When the battles are fought and won and lost, when the pirates find their treasures and the dragons eat their foes for breakfast with a nice cup of lapsang sunchong, someone needs to tell their bits of overlapping narrative. There's magic in that. It's in the listener, and for each and every ear, it will be different and will affect them in ways they can never predict, from the mundane to the profound. You may tell a tale that takes up residence in someone's soul, becomes their blood and self and purpose. That tale will move them and drive them, and who knows what they might do because of it. Because of your words, that is your role, your gift. Do not forget that. There are many kinds of magic, after all." Hopefully, a tale has taken residence in your soul, and this has been a magical summer for each of you. My alarm goes off at 5 a.m. I reach over and press snooze for another 10 minutes of sleep. I repeat this two more times, sometimes three, to squeeze in those few extra minutes of shut-eye. I eventually wake up enough to talk my legs into moving over the edge of the bed, and I sit up, rub the tired sleep from my eyes, and slowly stand. Grabbing a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, and socks, I head to the bathroom to change. I shuffle around the bed as quiet as possible, even though I know that at this time of morning, there's not much chance of waking Christina, whether I wanted to or not. By 5:45, I'm out the door heading to the box. It is a quick 10-minute drive, and as I enter the front door, I'm immediately greeted with good mornings, how are things, and other idle chit-chat. I look up at the large whiteboard that graces one whole side of the room. Today's workout is a team workout. in teams of four, complete one round of 400 meter run, 200 overhead lunges, another 400 meter run, 200 ballistic sit-ups, another 400 meter run, 200 kettlebell swings, another 400 meter run, 8 rope climbs, 400 meter run, and 200 slam balls. All four teammates must stick together. Two 50-pound sandbags must be carried for the duration of the workout, including the 400 meter runs. If a sandbag touches the ground at any point, all four teammates must complete 20 burpees before moving on. While completing reps, two teammates may work at a time while the other two hold the sandbags. Partition the reps however you wish. My team of four finished in about 30 minutes. Add in some running and mobility work as a warm-up and some stretching and foam roller for cool down, and it is close to 7 o'clock when I head home to get ready for work. I repeat this process 3 times a week, except, of course, there are always different workouts, or as we call them, workouts of the day, or the WOD, W-O-D. This is CrossFit, and has been a passion of mine for over 3 years now. The website describes CrossFit as: the aim of CrossFit is to forge a broad, general, and inclusive fitness. We have sought to build a program that will best prepare trainees for any physical contingency, not only for the unknown, but for the unknowable. The equipment we use, for the most part, consists of a few rowing machines, lots of dumbbells, kettlebells, and barbells, a pull-up bar, and a selection of medicine balls. Typically, this is all housed in a large warehouse space. It is not referred to as the gym, the workout room, the athletic center, or the club, but simply as the box. I started doing CrossFit over 3 years ago after I spontaneously decided to run Hood to Coast in June. For those not familiar with Hood to Coast, it is run the third weekend of August, which meant I had approximately 2.5 months to go from couch potato to being able to run 7 to 8 miles 3 times over a 36-hour period. I've never really considered myself an athlete, and even though I had run a couple of marathons before this, it had been many, many years. So I was either crazy, overly confident, or both. Regardless, I knew that I needed to get in shape, and I needed to do it quickly. So I found the box over by Fort Vancouver called Fort Vancouver CrossFit, and I've been a consistent Breakfast Club member ever since. I could go on about my specific personal records, my particular strengths, my improvements in the power clean, the workouts that I crushed, or the workouts where I laid on my kitchen floor for 30 minutes recovering. I could easily talk about the lessons I have learned about my own limits and how close I can push myself to those limits. But all of those are secondary to the real gift that the box has given me. What I have realized is that for me, Fort Vancouver CrossFit embodies the inclusive table that Jesus speaks about in today's scripture reading. At CrossFit, we each have exercises that we are good at. I tend to do well with running and lifting that requires lower body strength, such as squats. But we also each have our weaknesses. I have a nagging shoulder injury, so I struggle with things like pull-ups. Every day, the workout that we do is different, and it is a surprise, unless, of course, you cheat and look on the website before heading in. Some days, the workout is nothing but running and lower body, perfect for me, but other days may be all overhead weights, not so great. This randomness means that you may be first one day and last the next. Very little room for big egos, because few of us are good at everything. Now, don't get me wrong, most of the workouts have a competitive nature to them, so there's plenty of jawing and pushing each other. But it typically will be along the lines of, I am going to kick your butt on the box jumps today, but you're probably going to catch me on those toes to bar. Last year, I attended the regional CrossFit Games in Puyallup, Washington. The games are comprised of both team and individual competitions that last over 3 days and consist of several surprise workouts. Now, just to be clear, I was attending as a spectator, not as a competitor. These men and women are amazing athletes with six-pack abs and rippling muscles in places I don't even think I have muscles. About midway through the first day, the men's individual competition was announced. The workout was 5 rounds of 15 cleans, which is taking a barbell from the ground to the shoulders, and 15 handstand push-ups. You perform a handstand up against a wall and proceed to do push-ups. To top it off, this is done as a race, and you are judged. So are you trying to get through all 5 reps as quickly as possible with perfect form? The gun sounded, and the 10 competitors started whipping through the reps at blinding speed, except on the end. This one competitor was struggling with a handstand push-ups. He managed to keep pace through the first 3 rounds by flying through the cleans, making up the time he lost on those push-ups. But eventually, he just couldn't keep up. And one by one, the other competitors started to finish. As the second to last guy completed his last push-up, this remaining competitor still had his full set of 15 push-ups to go. The other 9 competitors were exhausted, but not one of them left the floor. Now, these are guys that for 3 days will be in fierce competition with each other. And yet, one by one, they walked over to that remaining competitor and started cheering him on. As he grunted out the last push-up, the stands erupted into cheers of applause. The respect and encouragement those 9 athletes showed to that final competitor was a humbling reminder of what it means to host an inclusive table. If we read a bit further from today's scripture, Jesus continues his parable by saying to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid by the resurrection of the righteous." There's a consistent group of fellow CrossFitters at the 6 a.m. class, or as we call ourselves, the Breakfast Club. It consists of a couple of muscular 20-year-olds, a few ex-college football stars, several 30-something moms, and some of us old guys. A ragtag group of people who all have the crazy idea that working out until you're lying on the ground, unable to move, is fun. This past Wednesday morning, we were working on the snatch. The snatch is an Olympic lift where you lift a barbell from the floor, catch it in a full squat with the bar over your head, and then stand with your arms extended, locked out. I would demonstrate, but I think I'd probably rip something in this suit trying to do it for you. It was toward the end of the workout, and I had worked up to a pretty heavy set for myself. I approached the bar, set my feet to just the right spot, took my wide grip on the bar, squatted down, got into good setup position, straightened my legs, pulled the bar up to my shoulders, started to squat underneath it, and dropped the bar to the floor. The lifter next to me smiled and said, "Man, you almost had that. You just need to get a little bit more underneath it next time." So I rechalked my hands, reset on the bar, stood, pulled, squatted, locked the bar overhead, and stood up. Success. I was rewarded with a high five and a "nice job, way to commit to it, impressive weight" from the same lifter as before. He then proceeded to lift in nearly perfect form, twice the weight I had just snatched. I can give example after example from the box of men and women finishing their workout only to turn around and cheer on the person next to them. It is not uncommon for people to give you a quick tip on a particular exercise that you are struggling with. There have been times during sprint exercises where someone that has already done with the workout runs an extra lap around the track just so the last runner doesn't have to run alone. New members, after finishing their first workout, get surrounded with high fives, fist bumps, and pats on the back. This sense of honoring, encouraging, and welcoming all people, regardless of their ability, their strengths, or their weaknesses, to me embodies Jesus' message in Luke. This is what it means to have an open and inclusive table. This weekly example of God's banquet is the gift that CrossFit has given me. I was tempted to conclude with a lame joke about being fit for the cross and CrossFit, but I opted against it. Instead, I would like to adapt a portion of a commentary on today's passage by Janine K. Brown, a professor of New Testament at Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. What might Luke 14 and the box have to say to us and the churches that we lead? There is a truth at the foundation of this message. As God's people humble themselves and seek to live by a different social system marked by radical inclusion, they can trust God to be faithful and to reward their right ways of living in that final day. As Christians presently seek to live out the counterculture value of inclusion for the most marginalized, their actions mirror Jesus' own inclusive kingdom agenda to fill God's house and offer that banquet and wad to all. Amen.